Thank you very much. Thank you for those of you who play the instruments. Thank you for joining in. What a blessing that was. And, boy, I don't know if you enjoyed listening to it, but I enjoyed singing it. Wonderful song. And just a song to prepare our hearts for what God has to give us. We're calling upon God to come near. God, come near me for whatever he has, whatever God is going to give us. Again, it's our privilege to have the Fries with us. Usually when I say the Fries, I'm talking about Jim and Pat, but it's good to have Nathan and Hannah with us this morning. As I already mentioned, Sunday school is already a blessing, very practical to us. And so I've had Nathan on the schedule for quite a while. We've talked about some things, and it all intertwines with what God is working in Hannah and Nathan's heart about, and connecting with missionaries is really what it all is about. And so it's been a long process of thinking through. And so as Brother Nathan comes and shares a little bit about what God is doing with their ministry, pay attention to that so we can be a blessing to them. And then also, as he opens up God's word, that we would also receive what God has for us today, because God certainly has something in mind for each and every one of us spiritually. So Nathan, if you would come. And first of all, share about your ministry, and then when you're done sharing about that, then you can just jump right into the message this morning.
Well, it is good to be here. I said in Sunday school that I really do enjoy coming back whenever I get a chance, and I'm excited this morning. I want to tell you a little bit about what God is doing for Hannah and I and what we believe he's called us to do. Some of you who are unfamiliar faces to me, I grew up right here in Elizabethtown attending this church, and so it is always good to be back. 2000, I think the year was 11, I don't remember for sure, but I was sitting in the church, Riggles Gap Bible Church, where we now attend up close to Altoona, Pennsylvania, and I remember sitting somewhere over on this side, and we had a guest missionary, and I remember very little about the missionary, except that he was to Australia, and he had an absolutely terrible video, and I don't say that to criticize any missionary at all. Anything I'm about to say is not to criticize missionaries, but his video was terrible. I remember sitting there, and I was trying to hear what he was saying, but I think wherever he recorded his narration, somebody was in the next room playing a trumpet. And whoever Mr. Gambino is, trumpet is great, just not while somebody's trying to talk, okay? And so I couldn't understand what he was saying, and I remember thinking how sad it was that here was a great missionary that loved the Lord and was doing great things, but the way he presented it was lost because of the poor quality of the video. And then as I was thinking through that, I was thinking, boy, I remember sitting in this church as a young person and having missionaries come with the old slide projector. And I'm not that old, but I remember that. And it would clink, clink to the next slide, and somebody would, maybe the missionary would be sitting down here in front with the wireless microphone and be explaining the pictures. And back in those days, it wasn't so bad, was it? You took a few pictures, you turned them into slides, and you talked while you showed the slides. But then maybe 10 or 15 years ago, along came this thing called PowerPoint. And, you know, then it was a little bit more complicated. You had to get on the computer and get your pictures onto the computer, and that was a little bit more difficult. And yet, in the last few years, we have this amazing tool of video. But it's gotten progressively harder to actually incorporate these things as missionaries. Have you noticed how popular video has become? Have you gone into McDonald's recently and seen that even in McDonald's there's video? Like, they have, you go in there and the menus like change, but then right in the middle there's this huge screen and you see like this perfect cup of coffee and like the steam coming up. I don't even drink coffee, but it almost makes me want to drink coffee. I mean, it's so beautiful. And then you see this perfect egg like hitting the griddle and it's like frying just perfectly. Have you noticed how powerful video is and how much it's being used? But increasingly, it's being hard for our missionaries to incorporate it. You know, I realize that God has gifted all of us differently. Many missionaries have gifts and talents that I just simply do not have. But the truth is, many missionaries, they're expected as they go around to churches, as they present what God has called them to do or what they've already been doing. The truth is, many times, their gift is not video. And that's okay. God has gifted them in some amazing ways to serve Him. But as I saw that terrible video back in 2011, and as I began thinking through all these things, I began to sort of have a burden to maybe try to help missionaries with this. But at that time, to be honest, I didn't know how to make videos, but I was interested in it, and I was interested in technology. And so I think it was that same year, I purchased my first video camera, and I began making videos for myself and also for Servant's Heart Camp. Many of you know that I've done a lot of videos for them. And so about the next year, I did that. And then I realized, boy, this camera isn't quite what I want. And the next year, I got another one. And that next camera was right before I went off to Pohnpei. And most of you know that I went to the Micronesian Islands for several years. And so while I was there, I was continuing to make videos. Some of the island of Pohnpei, I got a lot of videos that I put online. And people that had left the islands and moved to other places would watch, and they would just thank me and say, oh, it's so neat to see my home island again. So I'd make some videos about that. Some of the videos were just about my own life and ministry there. I even made some videos for other pastors and missionaries on Pohnpei that they could use for their ministries. So over the next few years, I just looked the other day, and the Lord has allowed me on my own personal channel, this is not necessarily ministry videos, but weddings and my own, own videos, about 60 videos that have gotten over 116,000 views. And so it's amazing to me. Some of those videos I didn't think were that great, but it's amazing through the power of video and the power of the internet how many people can view something and how many people can be affected. So over the next several years, I was learning, continuing to learn and sort of grow in my abilities. And then last year, 2016, Hannah and I had come back from the islands, and this whole time, for 3 or 4 or 5 years, I'd been thinking about helping missionaries with video, and I'd been doing some, but not a lot. And we decided it was the time to actually officially start helping churches and helping missionaries in the way of video. We were talking about a name, and we came up with this name from John 4:35. And I remember mentioning it to Hannah. I remember where we were away for a week, and I said, Hannah, what do you think about the name Lens of the Harvest? And the idea is that through our lens and through the video, people will lift up their eyes, as it says in John 4:35, look on the fields and see the harvest. And we said, we're going to think about that. We like that. And then I remember that same weekend, we drove by this beautiful field of wheat. And it was almost as though it was something simple, but it was almost as though it was the confirmation that we needed, that that was what we were going to call it. I've already basically given you this, but why Lens of the Harvest? Why? What is the purpose? Well, how many of you have ever heard the expression, you don't need to raise your hand, but a picture is worth 1,000 words? I'm sure we've all heard that expression. And so as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about to myself, could I explain to all of you, who most of you have probably never been to Micronesia, maybe a few of you, could I explain to you a beautiful sunset over the ocean? Would I be able to, with words, explain that to you? Honestly, my vocabulary is not really great. I'm a little bit colorblind, and I just don't think I could really adequately explain to you what it looks like by words. But I've taken a few pictures, and I think that it kind of helps you feel like you know a little bit what it looks like by a picture, because it's worth way more than what I could communicate verbally. But if a picture is worth 1,000 words, I honestly believe that a video is worth 10,000. You see, recently I was working on a project, and I had a picture of a person smiling. Just smiling. And it was okay, but I had a video of a person smiling. And you know, I saw that young boy from another country, and he smiled. And it just got my heart. Because that little emotion that you can see in video is so much more effective than just a single picture. And then you combine that with music that fits the mood, and you combine it with maybe a narration explaining the need of missions on that mission field, and it can adequately and effectively just communicate a lot of emotion. One of our goals and one of the ways that video can help is most of us have never been, for instance, you support a missionary, I believe, in Guam and a missionary in Spain right now. Most of us, a few of us, but most of us have probably never been to one of those places or both of those places. We can't visualize it. We don't know what it looks like. But through the power of video, we can see what the place looks like. We might even be able to see what their church looks like. We might be able to see what their people look like. We may be able to just get a grasp a little bit better of what their culture is like. And it just helps us. So the goal eventually for us, and we can't do it right now, but eventually we would like to be able to actually travel. So let's just use for as an example the Hendersons in Guam. Perhaps in a few years they're ready to come home on furlough and they want a video showing all that God has done over the last few years. Well, our goal and our love would be to actually travel there, take a lot of videos, and bring back all those videos and all the narration that we record and put it into a very heart-capturing video. And the goal would be to help people to really relate to missions, relate to your missionary. Sometimes it's hard to pray for things that we can't visualize. Sometimes it's hard to give to things that we are not really connected with. And we know that not everybody can go, but we hope that through the power of video, it would motivate people to be really connected and to understand so that they would be more motivated to give, to pray, and even possibly to go. There's so many things that we can do with video. One of the things that we would like to do beyond that would be to encourage missionaries to better utilize video themselves, not just for us to go take video, but Pastor mentioned this morning in Sunday school ways that we can try to connect through video, maybe in the service, and sometimes there's time differences. Well, we would love to try to help missionaries be more committed to using video instead of always just sending a written prayer letter, but sometimes maybe send a prayer letter to a church by video. And you could put it up on the screen and you could watch and see what's happening on that mission field. So we would love to help train or assist missionaries in producing those kind of videos as well. There's things we mentioned this morning in Sunday school about using Skype to talk face-to-face with people. Well, those are kind of things sometimes, again, because of time differences that don't always work out. We're working. So far, it's been a little slow and not totally worked out really well, but we're trying to work on a system where we would actually be able to interview missionaries by Skype and record it, and the churches would be able to use that to also, so it would be a video they'd be able to show, and it would be sort of an interview with missionaries so that they would be able to, again, send information back and be able to connect with missionaries. Wow. Okay, I'm talking fast. That kind of explains what we want to do. I know it doesn't explain everything. I want to make sure that we get to our message. And so if you have any questions, I would encourage you. We're going to be by the table in the back later on. It's funny. People ask, do you have a video to present your ministry for your video ministry? I say, well, no, not really. And so we don't have a video that really explains it right now. But if you do go on the back table, there is a little display there that shows some of the kinds of videos that we take that kind of shows some different places that we've been and shows people's faces and hopefully shows you some of that emotion and things that can be conveyed through the power of video. So again, if you have any questions later, I know I haven't exhausted every question I'm sure you have. I would love to answer it later on. But I would like to turn this morning, start by turning to Matthew chapter 9. This morning I was thinking about the three ways that we are very often told that we can participate in missions. And this morning in Sunday school, if you are part of that, we talked about many different ways that we can connect with our missionaries. And we talked about even the idea of holding the ropes and how we can support them in different ways. But what are the three basic ways that we're told we can participate in missions? Well, usually we hear this phrase often. We can give, we can go, and we can pray. So often I believe that what happens, though, in our churches and in our own lives is we say, okay, well, I'll give so that I don't have to go. Or I'll give so that I don't have to pray. And maybe we participate, and we should, rightfully so, participate by giving financially to our missionaries, by giving to the church and they support missionaries. Maybe we do it personally or as a family, we support some missionaries. That's great. We should give. We should go if we can go. If God's called us to go, we should be willing to go if He calls us. But you know the thing that sometimes I'm afraid that we miss, that's really the easiest to do, is to pray. Sometimes we come to church on a Wednesday night, and it's Wednesday night Bible study, and what do? Lord, bless the missionaries. I'd like to be blessed, wouldn't you? But there's so much more that we can pray. And as I was seeking the Lord about what He would have for me to share this morning, He led me to this topic of this, is how to pray for missions. And I was actually surprised that there are some passages in the Bible that tell us exactly what to pray for missions. Now, some of them you might say, well, that's not exactly, but there's some that are exactly. The Bible is saying, do this and pray for missions. I was thinking this morning, we talked about holding the ropes, but I was also thinking of the passage in Exodus chapter 17. Do you remember Israel was fighting Amalek? And they were having a battle. And Moses discovered that if he was on top of the mountain and he held up his hands, that Israel would win. But if he let his hands down, Amalek would win. And I was thinking about that this week because I was holding my hands up a little bit, trying to just see what it was like. And you know what I found? After about 30 seconds, I already started feeling it in my shoulders. So it doesn't take very long. And I can imagine Moses as he's up there, and he's knowing if I let my hands down, Israel's going to lose. And can you imagine as he starts battling in his mind and in his body, boy, this hurts, but I have to keep my hands up. And maybe after a few minutes, he just couldn't take anymore. He started to let them down. Oh, but they're losing, and he's trying to fight. Can you imagine that with me this morning? And how much it was hurting? I'm sure it was painful. And can you imagine how glad he was when two men named Aaron and Hur came along and helped him and held his arms up? And they helped him, and they assisted him. And I don't know, maybe they just stood beside him and held it. I'm not exactly sure. But can you imagine the blessing that was? And I feel this morning like sometimes that's how we are for our missions, or how we should be. They're out there, they're fighting, they're battling in the Lord's army. And yet we can assist them, and we can be such a part of it. And this morning I want to focus mostly on the part of how can we pray for them? How can we hold their arms up through prayer? How can we hold the ropes? Number one this morning, I have 10 things. Don't worry, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one, but I have 10 ways that we can pray for missionaries. The first is in Matthew chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 36. Jesus says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." Matthew 9:37. "Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Number one this morning, I want to encourage us to pray for laborers. I already mentioned the verse in John chapter 4:35, where the Bible says that we should lift up our eyes and look unto the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. It's a familiar missions passage. But what Jesus is saying, even in this passage, in John 4:35, is that the harvest is plenteous. Sometimes we have this tendency to think that people are going to reject the gospel, or that people don't want to hear about it. And that's true, some will, but there are people out there who are waiting to be told. And not only should we be telling them ourselves, but we need to pray that God would send forth laborers. Maybe we need to pray that God would raise up missionaries from our own church, that God would take some young people and call them into missionaries, to be missionaries. The Bible says very clearly here, pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, will send forth laborers. We need people. Maybe you know a missionary and they're working alone. Maybe they need an assistant, somebody to come along and help them. Pray for laborers. Pray that God would call somebody to come and be a helper to them. Very simple. Pray for laborers. Turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to be flipping a lot this morning. Hope you'll bear with me. Acts chapter 16. Another familiar passage here about Paul and his missionary experiences. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, it says this. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So far, you know what I hear? There's a lot of places that they wanted to go, but the Spirit of God wouldn't let them. But in verse number 9, it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us for to preach the gospel unto them." Number 2 this morning, I want us to pray that missionaries would be led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes I remember being in Bible college, and missionaries knew they were called to be missionaries. They would study for 4 years missions, and they would get to the end of their 4 years, and you would say, "Well, where do you think God wants you to serve?" "I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to go next." So we want God, first of all, to call laborers. We need to pray and seek God's face to call more laborers into our harvest, that more would be harvesting the bountiful harvest. But then we need to pray that God would guide them. Where should they go? And not just young missionaries, but sometimes we see missionaries who are older that don't always stay in the same place. Paul traveled. Paul moved from place to place to place, but he needed the Spirit of God to guide him where he should go, what he should do, what was his next step. Sometimes as humans, it's easy to forget about the Spirit of God and want to just go our own way and to do our own thing. Paul wanted to go into Asia. He wanted to go into Mysia. He wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit wouldn't let him. Thankfully, Paul was guided by the Spirit of God. So we need to pray that our missionaries would be led by the Spirit, that they would be that they would be willing to follow the Spirit wherever God wants them to go. Number 3, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, again, we mentioned in Sunday school this morning that Paul was one of the greatest missionaries that we would consider to be told to us in the Bible, that he's a missionary of the Lord. And in Romans chapter 10, we see not a request for Paul necessary, but Paul as a missionary was praying for something. In Romans 10 verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul's desire was to see people saved, to see people maybe not even that he was ministering to, but see other people in other places be saved. I think as we pray for our missionaries, again, I'm going to mention this again, but it's not just, "Lord, bless the missionaries," but, "Lord, would you help our missionaries to see people saved? Would you help there to be people who would be open to the gospel? God, would you help people to be receptive to the gospel, that they would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?" We should pray that souls would be saved. We're moving quickly through these, but turn to 2 Thessalonians 3:1. A lot of passages to see here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1. This is another one that Paul says. And what I find interesting about 2 Thessalonians is this is not Paul praying now, but this is Paul asking for prayer. Paul is a great missionary. It was almost like this was his prayer letter saying, "This is what I want you to pray for me about." In 2 Thessalonians 3:1, he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." You see it? He's asking for prayer here. It's a prayer request. And the first thing that he says is that the word of God may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Number 4 this morning, pray that the word of God will run freely, that it will have free course. As I studied the word free course, it's almost the idea that you would take a 5-gallon bucket and pour it out on your kitchen floor. Where would it go? Anywhere it wanted, right? It would just flow all over your floor and make a big mess. Well, I'm not saying the gospel is going to make a big mess. The gospel can change lives. But we need to pray that it would flow swiftly and freely. The idea is of somebody who's running full speed ahead, and it's just spreading all over the place, that it would spread, that the gospel would spread rapidly. I didn't even know this, but Psalm 147 verse 15 says that God's word can run. It says, "He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth, and his word runneth very swiftly." In 2 Timothy 2:9, Paul says this. He says, "Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds." Paul was saying, "I am in prison at this point. I am bound, just like I'm an evildoer. I'm not an evildoer, but I'm in bonds." But the thing that he says at the end of that is, "But the word of God is not bound." Praise the Lord. God's word cannot be bound up into a prison like Paul was at that point. But we need to pray that God's word would run swiftly. Let me give you a few thoughts about this. One would be pray for closed countries. There's closed countries around the world where the word of God is not welcomed. We need to pray that the Lord would open those doors. Places like North Korea that you can't hardly get in there. The Middle East, places you can't go to. Let's pray that God's word would have free course. It would run swiftly all over the world. That it would spread. That people would be saved. And that the gospel would just spread rapidly. I'm thankful for God's powerful word. In Isaiah, it says that God's word will not return void. We have that as a promise. And yet, let's pray that it spreads swiftly so that it will not return void, that it will just be spreading. In fact, it says in Jeremiah 23:29 that God's word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. It's powerful. It can soften hearts. It also says in Hebrews that it's a two-edged sword. It's just a few verses about the powerfulness of God. But let's pray that as God's word is powerful, that it will run freely throughout the world. The next part of that same verse in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, or I'm sorry, verse 2 actually says, the next thing Paul asked for prayer for is that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Let's pray for our missionaries this morning that they would have deliverance from opposition. You understand, not everybody is excited to see a missionary show up on their country or in their town or in their city. There's some people that just plain down don't want a missionary to be there. Think of a few examples. One is a missionary that I know, both missionaries I know personally. The one, he went to a place and he was serving the Lord faithfully and he was trying to do great work. And some people in the town didn't like it and they went online and they started writing some pretty nasty things about him. Some untrue things and started stirring up contention in the community. As far as I'm concerned, that's a little bit better than the next one, because the next one, a guy that I know, he's now with the Lord in heaven, but he was trying to build a building for the work of the ministry, and some people in the community didn't want it, and they started chasing him with machetes. I'd rather somebody write something online about me than chase me with a machete, but I would prefer that neither one would happen, wouldn't you? Let's pray that our missionaries would be delivered from opposition. There's people who would oppose the work of the ministry. Paul says in Romans 15, verse 30, he asked people to pray that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Remember, he was going into Judea, and he knew there's people who hated him, and he knew there's people that wanted him dead. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes we forget that there are places in the world where people would just love to kill a missionary. They would love that. Let's pray for the safety and deliverance from opposition for our missionaries. The next one I think is interesting as well. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Turn back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 6. This is another one where Paul specifically is requesting prayer for himself about something. Paul, as a missionary, is requesting prayer. This is what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So far, Paul is basically instructing us in this passage to pray for all saints. But in verse 19, he goes on and says, and for me. He's saying, okay, I'm telling you to pray for everybody else, but now pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray for our missionaries to have boldness to speak the gospel. As I read this passage, I look at it and I scratch my head because I go, Paul? Paul needed boldness? Wasn't Paul one of the most bold missionaries and outspoken men for Christ that we know about? I mean, Paul was going everywhere telling people about Christ. He suffered persecution. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. But Paul's request in this passage was, pray for me that I may have boldness to speak the word as I should speak it. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning how growing up I looked at missionaries as these amazing people. And they are. I love missionaries. And I think we should respect them and honor them. But sometimes we look at them and we set them up here and think they're super spiritual and they don't have any struggles. But you know what I found as I got to know more missionaries? They're just like you and they're just like me, and they've got a lot of struggles sometimes. You know, you and I, sometimes we go out into the world and we know we should tell somebody about the gospel. We know we should give out that tract. We know we should talk to somebody, but we're a little scared. I'm afraid what they're going to think of me. I'm afraid what they're going to say. I don't want to be weird. I'm going to tell you, missionaries have those same feelings sometimes. And you know what I found? Or you know what I haven't found? I wish I could find. I really, really wish. I've been looking, but I can't find it. But I've looked at all the airlines. I've looked at United and Delta and Southwest and Air China. I've checked. There's not one airline that I can get on the plane in Baltimore and fly to another country and become more spiritual. It does. I wish I could find it. I really wish I could just find it, that I could get on the plane, get off the other end and be more spiritual. But what I'm trying to say to you this morning is this. Just because a missionary has surrendered his life to go and serve the Lord in another country does not ultimately mean he never struggles. Does not mean he doesn't have any battles to face. And they're there to tell the gospel. And they know that's why they're there, but sometimes it's still hard. It's not easy. Paul, a bold missionary for the Lord, said, "Pray for me that I may have boldness to preach the gospel." In verse, let's read it again. Verse 19, "That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." He knew it. He knew I should speak this way. I should speak boldly, but pray that I would do it. You don't need to turn right now, but over in Colossians chapter 4, he also says in Colossians 4, verse 3, he says, in verse 2, "Continue in prayer and watching in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Again, he's asking and saying, I know how I should speak. And he's even asking, saying, would you pray that God would open up the doors for me to be able to speak boldly? Open up the doors of opportunity that I can speak boldly. We were just looking at Ephesians and Paul's request there, and I found something interesting. I found it interesting that Paul's asking for this request for boldness immediately after a passage that we're all very familiar with. The passage is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 or 17, and it's the passage talking about putting on the armor of God. And I don't know if it's a direct correlation, but I was thinking, how could Paul have boldness unless he had the armor of God? We look at it, and we look down through in verse number 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." How can you be bold unless you have this armor and you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Verse number 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Well, how can you be bold in the gospel unless you have the truth? You need the truth. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." I would like to encourage us this morning to pray for our missionaries that they would have personal spiritual growth, that they would have on the armor of God. Because no matter what they do, if they're not taking on the armor of God and ready to fight, they're going to be weak. They're going to fail in their own strength. Paul was asking for boldness right after he was instructing these people to put on all this armor of God, to put on the shield of, to have the shield of faith, to take on the breastplate of righteousness, all of these things. And we could make a list, I'm sure, a mile long of things that we could pray for about personal spiritual growth. Again, not just Lord bless the missionary, but God, would you give them strong marriages? God, would you help them to stand against the wiles of the devil? Would you help them to resist temptation? God, would you help them to be humble and pure? Would you help them to grow in their understanding of you? There's so much that we can pray for about their personal spiritual growth before the Lord. Let's turn over to Colossians. Colossians 1. Again, this is another prayer of Paul, not necessarily for himself, but he's praying a prayer. As a missionary, this is his heart's desire in prayer. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Paul says this. He says, since we heard about your love in the Spirit, these are the things that I've prayed for you about as a church. Church at Colossae, this is what I'm praying for you about. So I want to encourage us this morning. Let's pray for growth in churches. Not just for our missionaries' personal growth, but growth of their churches. I think right here is a great place. We can open up our Bible and we can say, "Lord, I know the Hendersons are serving in Guam. I pray that you would do these things for them. God, I pray that in their church, those people would be filled with the knowledge of your will, that they would have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God, I'm asking that you would help them to walk worthy of the Lord on all pleasing, that their lives would please you, and they'd be a testimony before you. God, I want them to increase in the knowledge of you, that they would understand more about you every week, every day, that they would know more and more about you. God, would you strengthen them with your might according to your power, that the end result would be patience and long-suffering with what? Patience and long-suffering is hard enough, but he says patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We can just take this passage right here. We often want a prayer list. We can just take this right here and pray right down through it, that we could pray for our missionaries and our churches right out of this passage. Pray for growth of churches. Turn back to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is interesting because we sometimes call it the Lord's Prayer. Not the Lord's model prayer, not the one where he's telling us how we should pray, but he himself is praying here to the Father, Jesus, before the night of his crucifixion. And in verses 6 through 19, he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for different things about the disciples. But in verse 20, he says this, "Neither pray I for these alone. I'm not just praying for the disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." In other words, I'm praying for the believers who, as the gospel spreads through the disciples, I am praying for these believers, "that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." I want to encourage this morning to pray for unity among believers, among the churches. One of your theme verses here at the church is Philippians 1:27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs," what? "That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Jesus, that was his desire. Jesus was praying this. If Jesus was praying it, I think we can pray it too. I think that's okay. And he's praying, he says, "Lord, these people who are going to be saved as the result of the disciples spreading the gospel, would you give them unity?" I think of the churches in Ponape where we were. It was an island of about 30,000 people. There were 7 Baptist churches, and I praise the Lord for that. And one thing that I was so thankful for was among those 7 Baptist churches, there was unity among the believers. There wasn't fighting. There wasn't contention. There wasn't this church was better than that church. It was just a unified spirit. And I pray that it continues. I hope it continues. But let's pray as we pray for our missionaries. God, would you give them unity in their church, that the believers would be unified in that church? Would you give them unity even with the other churches in their area who are believing the word? I'm not talking about compromising with those who are false teachers, but I'm saying, would you give them the spirit of unity among the believers on those places, those mission fields? Number 9, pray for the unity of the church. The last one this morning I want to mention to you is pray for unity among co-workers. Turn to Acts chapter 15, another very familiar passage. I'm sure we all know it. But in Acts chapter 15, verse number 36 through 39. "And some days after," Acts 15, 36. Acts 15, 36. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia. And he went not with them to the work." Verse 39, "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended of the brethren unto the grace of God." That phrase caught my attention. The contention was so sharp between them. I don't imagine Paul and Barnabas over there standing there saying, "Now Barnabas, I don't think we should take John Mark." And Barnabas says, "Paul, I think we should take John Mark." I don't think it was like that. "There's no way I'm taking that good for nothing. He left us. I'm not taking him with us this time." And Barnabas says, "How dare you call him that? He's a good man. We're taking him." And can you imagine the fight that was going on between them? The Bible says the contention was sharp. I did some study on this, and you know what I found? Several different studies have shown that the number one reason missionaries leave the field and come home and never go back is not discouragement, it's not loneliness, it's not money, although sometimes those things play a part, but the number one reason, according to several studies, is contention with other missionaries. Let's pray. When there's co-workers working together, let's pray, God, would you give them unity? You know, sometimes it's two missionaries are in the same place, on the same field, and they want the same things. They want to see the gospel spread. They want to see their church grow. They want to see people saved. But sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's different personalities. Sometimes it's just different ways of wanting to do things. But the contention can be so sharp. You know what? Praise the Lord in this passage, it worked out because they went different ways and they both spread the gospel in different places. But sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes missionaries today are coming home and they're leaving the field simply because they can't handle the contention, the sharp contention with other missionaries. So number 10, let's pray for unity among our missionary and their co-workers. This morning, this list of 10 is so simple. It's so small in comparison. We could make a list, I'm sure, much longer than this. Again, we could pray for their health and their safety and their purity and their humility and for their marriages and for their children. There's so much we can pray about. My goal this morning is not to give you an exhaustive list. My goal is to give you something to think about. Am I praying diligently for my missionaries, or am I just saying, Lord, bless the missionaries? I want to look at one last verse as we close. James chapter 5. You know this verse, James chapter 5, verse 16. The end of the verse says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We know it, but do we apply it? You see, as we started off talking about us being able to hold up the arms of a missionary like Aaron and Hur did for Moses, as we talk about holding the ropes for them in that analogy, there's so much we can do, but one of the greatest ways that we can do it is simply to pray. And really, it is simple. It doesn't cost us anything. We don't have to fly anywhere. We don't have to go anywhere. And we have so much power to participate in missions and to be a part of it, and that we can even have fruit to our account because of our part in missions. And the Bible tells us, and we know it, there's so many passages that we could look at that tells us about the power of prayer. But in a sense, are we letting our missionaries' arms down because we're not taking the time and the effort to pray for them? Are we just kind of sending them out with a prayer for blessings and a check every month without supporting them through our prayers? I have to tell you, I struggle with this. I hope this morning is a challenge to you to make it a priority to pray for missions around the world as well as your own missionaries. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the passages of your word this morning that we've looked at. I know it's been quick. I know we've gone through it quickly. But Lord, your word tells us so much about the power of prayer and Lord, even our part in missions and what we can do. Lord, I pray you would convict our hearts and help us to make this a priority. Lord, that we could be behind our missionaries and we could help them to be successful through your power through our prayers. Pray you speak to our hearts. I thank you for your love, most of all for your gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.